Philippians chapter 4. Now I'm going to use this stool for a couple of services till I get a little stronger. Ronnie said he had on tape my last sermon. We don't want that to be literal, so I'm going to take it easy for a little while. Someone told me today, someone who knows something about this, that now is the time I must be careful when I get to feeling good, that you have a temptation and a tendency to overdo it. So I want to take the counsel of those who know and be very careful. So I'll sit down and preach for a few services. My text tonight is Philippians 4, verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 9. The subject, the God of peace be with you. Let's read verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Let me look at it again. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, I've been preparing this message for tonight over the period of the last few weeks. And since I have been on the shelf now for 35 days, that's how long it's been since I preached last, 35 days ago, 5 Sundays and 5 Wednesday nights, not being able to preach or to take part in worship services. And I know that most of you expect me to make some reference to these 35 days and to this trial. I know you expect me to have something to say about these days and about this experience, which will encourage you, which will encourage those who have been through times like this and are perhaps now going through a difficult time, or who will, in God's providence, sometime in the future, be laid aside for a little while. And I think that's appropriate that I do that, because I know that some of our best preaching is born of trial. I think some of our best writing and music compositions and things that God is pleased to really use are born of difficult times. They come through some difficult experience. They are inspired, in other words. An artist told me one time, he said, I have people come to me and say, paint a picture for me. He said, I can paint a picture, but it won't be much. But sometimes I'm inspired to paint a picture. Someone comes to you, Mike, says, write us a song. You can't do that. Oh, you could write a song, but it wouldn't amount to much. But if God puts you through deep water, a song will be born. And if we preach from, I say this to the preachers, if we preach from where we are, to people where they are, God will bless it. That great hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. If I receive the story of the writing of that hymn correctly, Mr. Spafford wrote it after his wife and children were drowned in a boat accident. And he wrote that hymn, when peace like a river attendeth my way. Sorrows like sea billows roll. It's well with my soul. And then that hymn in your book, page 501, After. That's the name of After. I don't know whether we've ever sung it here, but a man named Vandal wrote that hymn after he saw his son, little boy, run over by a truck and killed. And he went in after the days of mourning were over and his funeral, and he wrote, after the toil and the heat of the day, after my sorrows are past, after all sorrows are taken away, I'll see Jesus at last, and he'll be waiting for me. So, it's time to speak concerning the things that we experience. But I have the only reason, believe me sincerely, the only reason I hesitate to do this tonight, although I'm going to, but I hesitate to make very much of my time of sickness and difficulty, because really and truly it was such a small thing, such a small trial compared to what many of you have suffered. I know that. This is what some of you have suffered with such courage and such faith and such example. I feel embarrassed to even refer to this past month, because it is such a small thing. My trial and my sickness was only for a short time. Yours, just to name a few, there's a lady sitting here in this service tonight that's been an inspiration to me and to you, and who went through a much deeper, longer trial, Sandy Thornberry. And I thought a lot about you while these days were taking place, and your courage and your strength and your faith. And I think of Todd Nybert. I think of Scott Richardson. I think of Harold Parker. What an inspiration he was to me for 7 years. Think of Bill Borders, don't you? 3 years of, I don't know anything about suffering. And when I consider what some of you have gone through and what you have suffered with such courage and conviction, I'm embarrassed to speak about such a small thing. But it was not wasted on me. It was not unprofitable. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for these days. I'm thankful I'm on this side of it, believe me. Very thankful. I'm like the old Primitive Baptist who fell down the stairs. I'm glad that's over. David said, I'll just read you this, don't turn to it. He said, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Now, we don't really learn anything new, do we? In trials, we just experience what we already knew in head. Is that correct? In other words, if I didn't know before I went into this time that God's sovereign and worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, I won't learn it there. I'll experience it. I'll learn it better. It's like a man who's training to be a surgeon. He goes to school. He goes to internship. He goes to all these things. He watches other men operate, but one day he has to operate. Now he's going to learn something. He already knew it, Ron. And these things which I'm going to bring to your attention tonight, I knew them. You know them. God's taught them to us in regeneration, in the renewing of the Holy Ghost, in the new birth, in the revelation of His Spirit. We know these things, but they're confirmed to us, Charlie. We learn them by experience. And really and truly, Barnard said one time, we really only believe what we experience. That's when we really come to believe it. That's when we prove we believe it. That's when we prove it. All right, here's three or four things. Number one, David prayed in Psalm 39. He said, Lord, make me to know how frail I am. Well, he did. He did. So quickly, one Tuesday night, 30-some-odd days ago, I preached at Fairmont, West Virginia. Brother Milton Howard and I drove up there and went over to Brother Scott's for a late afternoon dinner. Went over to the motel and studied a while. Took a little rest. Went to church that night. Preached. Had a great service. Went over to the fellowship hall. Visited with the people. Had pie and coffee. 9:30 went up to Polka Dot Restaurant, had French fries and baked chicken. 11 o'clock at night went to the motel, acting like a 25-year-old, you know. Next day I was down. Like Sandy said to me the other night, and so quickly. One moment strong, healthy and well, the next moment completely down. Our strength and our earthly lives are in His hands. My dear people, that's so. God said, I kill, I make alive. And He does. I wound and I heal. And He does. He said, I'll raise up and I'll bring you down. It's all in His sovereign will, according to His own good pleasure, for His glory, and to accomplish His purpose, and for our good, and for the good of those whose lives we touch. Nothing happens to a believer that's not according to the will of His Heavenly Father, for His good and God's glory. You believe that? I know that's so. I know that's so. The hymn writer said, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim and quickly pass away. Change and decay in all around me I see. O God, Thou who changest not, abide with me. How quickly the change does come. And you know, if we can find our rest and trust and confidence only in Him, when it happens, it won't take us quite by surprise, will it? Here's the second thing. I know this. I knew this. But perhaps I learned it a little better. Listen to me. A right spirit and a right attitude toward trials and suffering is not automatic because you're a believer. Did you hear me? Someone said, was he a good patient? Somebody asked Doris, is he a good patient? Well, believe me, that's not automatic because you're a believer. I hear people say, well, if a person really loves Christ, if a person really believes Christ, he'll endure every trial and every affliction with patience and submission. Not so. That's not so. He ought to, but not he will. I tell you this, that new nature and love for Christ and confidence we have in His sovereignty and in His purpose is necessary for a right attitude and a right spirit. You're not going to have a right attitude and a right spirit if you don't have that new nature. If you don't know God's sovereign, you're with me now? You're not going to have that right attitude and right spirit and right mindset through a trial and through a difficulty unless you do know the Lord in His grace and sovereignty and majesty and power. But because you know him to be sovereign and know everything to be according to his will doesn't automatically give you that attitude and spirit. Is that clear what I'm saying, Tom? You see, there are certain conditions and results. There are causes and effects. Let me show you. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. There are some true believers who have for a moment acted real ugly under trial. And they regret it, and they mourn over it, and grieve over it. There's some of us who have murmured before God. David did he not, in Psalm 73? He said, I was like a beast before God. Did David know Christ? Did David love Christ? Well, he acted like an unbeliever. He said, why am I suffering like this and these pagans out here prospering? He said, why is a full cup wrung out to me and their eyes bulge out with fatness? He said, when I thought about that, it was too painful for me. And God straightened him out, didn't he? So there are causes and effects. David came to the right attitude, but something had to be taught him, revealed to him. He had to experience something. He had to experience a cause before he experienced the effect. He had to meet a condition before he experienced the results. Now watch this, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. There's the conditions. Now here's the results. And he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Now that's the cause. Here's the effect. And he'll direct your path. You'll experience it. That's right. Psalm 27 said this, I'll quote it to you, you're familiar with it. David said, wait on the Lord. Again, I say unto you, wait on the Lord. He just keeps, wait on the Lord. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say. He said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So let's wait. You run ahead, trouble. Got to wait. Listen to this. Cast all your care on him. He careth for you. But now the hymn writer said, take your burden to the Lord. And what? Leave it there. Cast it all on him. He cares for you. But you're not going to experience his care as long as you're caring. I'm not going to experience his comfort as long as I'm supplying my own, you know, or finding reasons outside of him. The scripture says, put off the old man. Put on the new man. So many times I experienced this. I could feel myself during this time getting contrary and finding fault with God's providence. And I had to straighten up. You understand what I'm... You've been there, haven't you? I had to straighten up. I had to correct my attitude. I had to remind myself of some things. Remind myself, God's in this now. This is not man's doing. This is God's doing. And we'll rejoice and be glad therein. This is the day the Lord made. I had to keep doing that. Do you have to do that? It's not automatic. Believe me. And don't chastise yourself overly when you experience these times of frustration and rebellion, and because it's normal and it has to be put aside. It just has to, and it can't be done once for all. It cannot be done once for all. Every day, it's a new day. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me this day the grace I need. It's not, you don't gather the manna today for tomorrow, do you, Cecil? Pick it up this morning You try to save it, it'll rot. I cannot go on today's grace tomorrow. I need a fresh batch. And that's what I'm saying, that right attitude and right spirit. Now, don't you take it for granted, because it doesn't come that way. It comes through submission, surrender, and it's every day. Or here's the third thing. I learned again what I've been trying to say to you all these years, the importance of His Word, the importance of this precious, blessed Word. The importance of His Word and His promises to my emotions and to my mental state and to my comfort. I say unto you, as I've said over and over again, when you're in trouble, read God's Word. When you are in trouble, when the storm clouds roll, when you can't understand some things, when you can't comprehend some things, and if you can't read it, have somebody read it to you. That's what I'm telling you. In the hospital, and as I said, my trial was so minor compared to many you've gone through, but lying there, and you know what, hospital, you've been there, you know those beds are impossible. I had Doris bring my pillow from home and bought me one of those egg crate things. I did everything I could to make that bed comfortable. They keep coming in, sticking you, and fever high and all. I said, honey, read to me. I need you to read to me. And she'd sit there by the bed and read psalm after psalm after psalm. I'm telling you, I'm not just preaching now, I'm telling you the truth. It's amazing, the peace and the joy. Isn't this right, John? And the comfort that'll come while that word's being read. And these clouds just seem to, they won't stay where His promises are. Will they, Jim? When that word, when you're reading it and when you get able, lay it right there by you and read it. Through every trial, through every dark cloud, through every difficulty, please, I say to you, listen to me. Do what I'm saying. Read His word. Or have somebody read it to you. Now, turn to Psalm 119 a minute, where Ronnie was reading a while ago. Listen, do you notice the many references that Ronnie read to the Word? Psalm 119, listen to this. Let me read you just a few. Psalm 119:41. Listen to this. Psalm 119, I'm going to read verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word hath quickened me. I could go on. Ronnie, you read this chapter, didn't you, when you prepared your reading. But over and over it says, my comfort, my stay, my foundation is thy word. Now, the words of men are great help, great comfort. So many of you sent cards and letters to me, and I read them over and over again. And I can't tell you what they mean. To know somebody out there thinking about you and praying for you, it means so much. And then our own resolve and determination as we ask God to give us the right spirit, like Job, though he slay me, I'll trust him. It's the Lord, let him do what he will. That all helps. But there's nothing like his word. I'm telling you, there's nothing. There's no comfort, there's no strength, there's no assurance like the reading of the word. It's peace, joy, and confidence. All right, here's the next thing. And here's the great battlefield. I thought a lot about this. Here's the great battlefield. Here's where the conflict is, the thoughts. the mind. That's sick or well. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh. You know, someone can come in and visit with you and you can smile. And you can carry on a conversation. But there may be a different war going on in here than what you're letting him know about. The thoughts. You see, our thoughts can plunge us into depression. Our thoughts. Or they can lift our spirits to God. Just by what we're thinking. That's right. During confinement, you have a lot of time to think. And how you think and what you think has more effect on you than the pain. It really does. It has more effect on you than your surroundings. I'll give you an example. I went to see the doctor last Friday for another examination. And we talked, and he encouraged me. He said, you're doing fine. But he said that the fact that your eyesight has been affected, he said, I want to check on that. So I'm going to have my nurse come in and draw some blood. Well, you know, after a week, 8 days in the hospital, you've given up about half your blood anyway. You get to where it doesn't bother you. They keep coming in, getting it, and they never put any back, except in your case, they gave you a lot, but it gets where you don't. So I didn't think anything about it. The nurse came in, the doctor went out. She came in with that tray and, you know, business like, you know, and you sit there and you drape your arm across the table there next to you and sit there. And Doris sitting in front of me, and I was talking to her, and I wasn't paying any. I did look around and see that hydraulic pump she brought with her, you know, it's about that. I thought I'm going to give a blood mobile or something. But I just laid my arm down there nonchalantly, you know, and I was talking to Doris, and it really doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt that much, you know. That didn't bother me. But I had my mind somewhere else. I was talking to Doris. We were talking about something else. I wasn't paying attention to that. And I heard her say, whoop, don't quit on me now. And I turned. And I saw all that. And I got to thinking about that. And things started going around. See what I'm saying? My thoughts. This was all going on. And I wasn't paying any attention to it. Accepting it. I was talking to my wife. And we were laughing and saying something, you know. She diverted my thoughts to the problem. And I got to go, and I had to tell myself, get away from it now. Look over here and think of something else. You're going to, Peter did that. He said, he was sitting in the boat, and he said, Lord, is that you? He said, bid me come to you on the water. And he stepped out and started walking to the Lord. He was looking at the Lord. And what did he do? What did he do? He got to thinking about the water and the waves. He looked at the nurse and the blood. And he started going down. He said, Lord, save me. And this is what I'm saying. Our thoughts. They have more how we think during this time and what we think has more effect upon us than our surroundings. It's not the pain. Because you can be in pain doing something you enjoy and not pay attention to pain. You can be in pain and be with someone you enjoy and not pay attention to it. You can be in the most... I'll tell you this. If you were to tell me that you wanted me to drive from here to Shoppus next week or next month by myself, I wouldn't do it. But I did take that trip with Doris and Milton and Claudia and enjoyed every minute of it. See what I'm... It was no trial at all. My thoughts. And you know, we must not allow these natural thoughts to override our Lord's word and promises. See what I'm saying? During a trial, we'll sit sometime and we'll think about the past. We think about how dumb we've been, about our failures, and about we could have done more and we didn't. And you know what I'm talking about. We think about the present and its troubles instead of the future and its glory. And we think the worst and expect it and build bridges over places there's no creeks. Do you do that? Thinking. Well, turn to Philippians, my text again, and let me read you something. Philippians chapter 4, my text again, verse 4. Let's read verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, I'm talking about thoughts, attitude, thinking, mind. There's always cause to rejoice in the Lord, isn't there? That word's used 10 times in this epistle. Always cause to rejoice. Rejoice in his grace, which is sufficient. Rejoice in his blood, which cleanses. Rejoice in his righteousness, which justifies. Rejoice in his love, which Bob told us last Sunday never fails. Rejoice in his providence, which works all things out for my good. Rejoice in his intercession, what you talked about, always continual. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Man, I got every reason to rejoice. Verse 5, and let your moderation, that's not talking about eating and drinking, it's talking about compassion and consideration and sincerity. Let your sincerity, your compassion, your consideration be known unto all men. Let it stand out. Put it on display, for the Lord's at hand. He'll help you. The Lord's at hand. He'll observe you. The Lord's at hand. He'll judge you. That's right. The Lord's at hand. Let it be known. All right. Look at this. Be careful for nothing. You know what that's saying? Quit fretting. That's what it's saying. Quit fretting. Do not fret and be overly anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if you do that, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It'll order these thoughts. And then he tells us this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, do what? Think on these things. Think on these things. Think on them. Now go back to that verse again, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, is his word true? Are his promises true? Is his providence true? Is Christ the truth? Well, you know he is. Then think on that. Whatsoever things are honest, out to the side, write this in your Bible. Worthy. That's the word. Whatsoever things are worthy. Worthy of thought. Is this worth thinking? That's you lie there, you're in this trial, and you're thinking now, the worst. Is that worthy of any thought? You're thinking of the past. Is it worthy? Is it profitable? Whatsoever things are worth thinking. That's what he's saying there. Worthy of consideration. Worthy of reverence. And you think on that. Let me show you something over here in Romans 8. Romans 8. Right there on that one word, worthy. Romans 8, verse 18. Listen to this. I reckon, Romans 8, 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It ain't worth considering. That's exactly what that's saying. Not worth it. Read on, verse 8. Whatsoever things are just. Well, you know who that is. He's the just one. He's the just and justifier. He enables God to be just and justifier. He's the just who died for the unjust. Paul, Ananias said, you're going to see the just one. He's the one to think about. He's worthy of thinking on. Whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any excellence, if that's the word virtue is excellence, if there be any excellence, if there be any praise, then you meditate and think on these things. These things. Fix your mind on these things. Fix your mind. Now look at the next verse. There's my text, and I'll close. And those things which you have learned, have we learned them? He that hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Those things which you have received, have we received them? Paul said, I preached the gospel to you and you received it. 1 Corinthians 15. To as many as received him. Those things which you've heard, he that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life. Those things which you've seen in the apostle, in Paul, which you've seen in some of those I named tonight, in their courage and faithfulness. Two letters. Do. A young man came to Brother Barnard one time and said, I'd like to talk to you. Barnard said, okay, let's go in here in the office. They went in the office, shut the door. Brother Barnard sat there and he was real quiet. And finally, he said to the young man, said, what did you want to see me about? He said, Brother Barnard, I want to serve the Lord. Barnard got up and looked at him and said, well, son, do it. And went out the door. Do it. And this is what I told myself for the past few days. All these things I've learned and received and heard and seen demonstrated for me. Just do it. Put it in motion. Put it in attitude and activity. And look at that next line. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, I'm a grace 100%. If there's anything in me anywhere that's not sovereign grace, I'd want to get rid of it right now. But I'm telling you this. That says the things you've learned and received and heard and seen, do it. And the God of peace will be with you. And no reason for my even thinking that he's going to honor anything that doesn't honor him. I don't care if it's a song or an instrumentalist or a message or an article or a bulletin or a testimony or what it is. He's going to be with those that do what they've learned and heard. All right. Now we'll sing that song, Mike, that you had picked out, It's Well With My Soul.